You're listening to Bit by Bit, July 19th, 2010.
This is Zoe Sprinkle reporting from the North Station, waiting for our train on July 16th, and I'm here with my dad.
And we're going back to the first day of the BLC, which was, oh gosh, what date was that? July 14th?
Yeah.
I don't know, we're a little weary from the week of an amazing week at BLC, but we're getting all our intros done while we're waiting for our 5 o'clock train down here in Boston. And who are we going to listen to today, the second keynote of the BLC?
Today, we're going to listen to Adora Svitek, and she is going into ninth grade, actually. She skipped a grade, so she is 12 years old, and she is talking about how kids should have more control in the classroom.
And your big takeaway?
What? Because I agree with basically everything she said.
All right. They will enjoy this, right?
Yeah.
We should just be quiet and let them listen to it. We've got more podcasts coming every day from Building Learning Communities from Allen November Group in Boston. So here comes who?
Adora Svitek.
Your good friend. Okay.
Talked to some people today. How many of you are slightly overwhelmed so far? Your brain is on tilt. And I talked with some colleagues. I just wanted to don't feel responsible for applying everything you've learned. Just
go back.
Just don't do that. Just stick one thing every day. You know, every day, one thing, and leave with three things. And I think that will be plenty. You can leave with three things. Okay. So, I don't know, we're getting the lights back on, but then, I'm still waiting. Maybe this is it. Is this it? I guess this is it. All right, never mind. I have to tell you, Adora, where was that workshop? Indianapolis?
I think so.
You do?
Maybe.
You were hanging out in Indianapolis? Oh, you were presenting to?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. What was the conference? Do you remember?
The National Middle Schools.
The National Middle Schools. That's right. That's right. Okay. So I was presenting at the National Middle Schools Conference in Indianapolis. That's right. And Adora was sitting in my workshop in the second or third row. And at the end, you ask her questions. You know, it's a Ferris Bueller moment. Nobody raises their hand. And Adora raises her hand, and she asks the most interesting questions. And I thought, whoa, that young teacher has really got it together. And afterwards, you know, I'm cleaning up, putting stuff away, and sometimes people come up to talk to me. And that was the case. And Adora and her mom were waiting patiently behind everybody else, so I realized that was going to be a longer conversation. And then Adora came up, and she said, hi, I'm Adora. Really liked your talk. And she started asking more interesting questions. And I said, what do you teach? And I think she said, I'm 12. And I said, well, what are you doing? You know, I guess I didn't ask that. I should have known you were presenting. And her mom was there. And I said, well, tell me what you do. You clearly, by the nature of your questions, have experience. She said, oh, I teach 300 people how to write online. They're from all over the world. I give them tips. I motivate them. Right? And she went on about this incredible community that she consults to. And I was stunned. And at that moment, I invited her to present it. I just had to do it. And I'm quite proud of this. Her mom just told me that I'm the fastest ever inviter. I'm the fastest. That it usually takes a lot more explanation. And adults don't invite her. It takes a long, 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 long time. And it took me about all of 2 milliseconds. To figure out that Adora ought to be sharing her experiences who really has put a lot together, some of it self-directed, some of it, I'm sure, with guidance, but I'm sure you will enjoy Adora's point of view, and I think we should make it a point to listen to children as often as we can, and in fact, I'm sorry that you don't have two kids sitting next to you right now. So you could turn to these kids and ask them what they think of Adora's ideas. So imagine you have two kids sitting next to you and how they might respond to these ideas. And without further ado, Adora, would you come up?
Well, now on to
to the point of my presentation, and that is about innovative classrooms. So when I say innovative classroom, what do you think that calls to mind? Any ideas? What do you think of when I say innovative classroom? Yes?
I think it's doing new things with old tools, new tools, whatever's available to do something magical in your classroom.
Very good definition, doing new things with old tools, new tools, whatever's available to work magically in your classroom. That's a very good definition. And sometimes when I talk to people about innovative classroom, and sometimes honestly when I think the first thing that comes to mind when I think innovative classroom, as far as a picture in my head, sometimes I think about kind of tables, chairs, the technology, the way everything is arranged. And according to Encarta, the word innovative means new and creative, especially in the way that something is done. So it's kind of interesting that I have that specific vision of a classroom arranged in a certain way. And though these things may contribute to an innovative classroom, today I'm really here to talk more about the human part, about leadership. So, as far as leadership goes, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of leadership? Presidents, prime ministers? No matter what you think of when you first think of leadership, probably the first few images that come to your mind are of grown-ups. How many of you would say that's true? I see a lot of raised hands. And what comes to mind when you think educational leadership? Principals, school district superintendents? In both cases, I do think that most people will think of a lot of adults, which I wonder about because according to the Encarta definition, leadership means the ability to guide, direct, or influence people. Nowhere in that definition is it mentioned that leadership is specific to adults. So why don't we think of more kids when we think of leadership? That is something that I would like to change today. If leadership means the ability to guide or direct or influence, then surely we have that ability just as much as some of our adult counterparts do. And if innovation means new or creative, especially in the way something is done, then giving kids the chance to lead, especially in education, certainly means innovation. What's more, I think that kids have a lot of experience with innovating, doing new and creative things. But I wanted to hear from you. What do you think that leadership means? Any ideas?
Clear vision.
Clear vision.
Courage.
I'm sorry?
Courage.
Courage?
Inspiring others.
Willing to take risks.
Responsibility.
Responsibility.
Listening.
Guiding.
And one more thing that you think of when you think responsibility.
Making tough choices.
Okay.
Experience.
Great. So looking at this definition, the definitions of leadership from the people in the audience, I see clear vision, courage, inspiring others, willing to take risks, responsibility, listening, guiding, making tough choices. How many of you have encountered a kid, maybe in your classroom, maybe one that you know, who has at least one of those qualities? I see a lot of raised hands. I have encountered many kids who have one of those qualities, or maybe more. And so this is my goal today, showing you why kids can be wonderful leaders and great leaders, especially in education. So given my generation opportunity to lead, there are a lot of reasons why this can bring innovation to our schools. Ask yourself, what should leadership look like? And I'm hoping that you'll see many more youth in the picture. My presentation is called Leadership from the Ground Up because it truly is from the ground up, a grassroots approach. Barack Obama really won the presidency because he utilized this grassroots approach, getting people, no matter their age or their position, to campaign for him across all walks of life. And so no matter politics, it's easy to imagine how classrooms and schools could benefit from the innovations that student leadership could apply and could bring, similar ground-up approach. In case you're a little wary of test writing this concept without having seen it already, having seen leaders, then I have quite a few examples of leadership from kids. So here are a few pictures. You may be familiar with some of these. 12-year-old Craig Kielberger founded the well-respected charity Free the Children at 12 after reading about the plight of child laborers. Alan Lors founded his own nonprofit, Kids vs. Global Warming, after watching An Inconvenient Truth. Tabby Gevinson started the widely read fashion blog Silent Repeat at age 11, dealing campaigns for girls' rights everywhere. Jasmine Lawrence founded Eden Body Works, a line of natural body care products, after a traumatic barbershop incident. And she lost all her hair because of some of the chemicals. And then Alexander Scott, who's the Lemonade Stand Foundation, continues to raise money. She raised over $1 million for pediatric cancer care research by using her own lemonade stand. Obviously, these are examples outside of this conference, but there are many kids here at this conference who are doing a lot to lead. If you need examples, just say hi to Zoe, Kelly, Blake, who are, I'm hoping, all here in the audience, and you will hear a lot about what they're doing, co-presenting, learning, and leading here at BLC. As for myself, I love to write from a young age, and when I was 7, I published my book. From there on, I've been spreading the message of literacy and loving learning. Recently, I've actually begun my own event. It's called TEDx Red. How many of you have heard of TED? I see some raised hands. So TED is basically this conference in California where a lot of prestigious thinkers and doers come to share what they're up to. And TEDx events are kind of independently organized versions of that. So TEDx Red is entirely organized by kids for kids. I'm working with a committee entirely made up of students. And this is to show the world, really, that kids can take the lead. We're having a lot of speakers who have done great things, set up nonprofits, and so TEDx Redmond is hopefully my example of what kids can do. And I'm not here to plug my event, but I will quickly plug the fact that it's on September 18th and it's live streamed. But I want to say more about its message of power to the students. And the reason I believe this is important is because we have a lot of messages to share that sometimes are left out of what we usually hear in the news or when we talk to adults about decisions and education, and I think we really need to bring this voice to the forefront. John, we want to ask a question. Can you guys see me when I'm over here? Not really, sorry. It's a little difficult. I just run over here to change my slides sometimes. So I'll try to stand like this. Now, as I've shown from some of the examples of kids doing great things, we are able to reach out and bring new ideas, new nonprofits, really a range of inspiring people to the world. So with our extracurricular activities ranging from starting charities to bringing new ideas, organizing events, publishing books, really a whole range of things to the world, then our intercurricular activities and our schools need to embrace that, need to reflect that. Instead of being the exception, kids doing great things should be the norm. Why? One reason kids leading in their schools is a topic that's very important to me is the issue of fair representation. In the 1700s, the Americans protested the British policy of taxation without representation, so I started coining the phrase education without representation. While I'm not planning on tarring or feathering anyone, sometimes leaving kids' voice out of decision-making, I do believe that we deserve to have our voices heard when it comes to education. And the about ways that you can improve your students' learning. But I think that having kids at the table brings a new voice, one can advocate for themselves. And I also worry sometimes that too many educators are afraid to be innovative because of some of the risks that it brings. To go outside of the box, it can come with discouragement. Today at Plano, we heard about Scratch, and I was actually the follow-up, and some teachers said that their biggest roadblocks were not students with technology, or not that it was difficult to use. They said it wasn't that. They said it was sometimes the administrators or school leadership that might step in the way. And that shouldn't be the case. We need more innovation and less fear about it, less stagnancy. Past experiences or discouragements can provide powerful roadblocks to new innovation. And true reform can only happen when we're not afraid, when we're not afraid to walk new paths and go outside the box. I think that kids aren't hampered as much when it comes to thinking about reasons why not to do things. After all, what if the people who've invented it were standing around the kitchen with raw eggs in their hands? We still dream about things. We still dream big. This inherent wisdom doesn't have to be insider's knowledge. We can share this with our teachers, with the administration, with our schools, if we're given a chance. Kids already do a lot of learning from adults, and I think that adults should start learning from kids, building stronger learning communities with everyone at the table. Besides wonderful things like representation and creativity, student leadership is, to put it bluntly, on-the-job training. Raise your hand if you think you've learned something from being in a leadership position. I see a lot of raised hands. Leadership teaches us about things like diplomacy and compromise, coming up with new ideas, being brave, speaking out. John F. Kennedy once said, leadership and learning are indispensable to each other. I know that I've learned a lot of things from being in a leadership position. I know that many of you have learned things from being in a leadership role. These are skills that will last me a lifetime, come in handy not just when I'm leading a group or leading a discussion, but also when someone is applying for a job or when I'm in a, even not in a leadership position, but maybe just at a party trying to have a conversation. I will think back to when I was a leader trying to come up with things to say. And so the skills that you learn from being in a leadership role are applicable to all areas. And at the same time, I learn things that I've learned from being a leadership role have helped me gain new roles. It's a win-win on both sides. So I know that there will be skeptics in every audience, and probably some of you will be shaking your heads and thinking of student leadership and students coming up with these new fresh ideas. That's much easier said than done. And yes, I will admit that this whole concept of getting students to lead isn't as simple as taking a kid and say, here you go, get in the classroom and start leading. It doesn't quite work like that, unfortunately. As I earlier mentioned, I'm organizing this event, TEDx Redmond, with a committee comprised entirely of kids, and what I might have neglected to mention was that sometimes working entirely with my peers brings some challenges. We haven't had everyone come to our meetings on time necessarily, although we have had some pretty good attendance recently. You have to work around some challenges when you are working with a group of kids. And sometimes the pros and cons of working entirely with peers may be kind of think about the student leadership issue. But this is actually a good thing because it makes me realize getting students to lead isn't easy, but it's something that needs to be done. And it brings me to another very important point. No leader, no politician works without a speechwriter, aides, or campaigners. No celebrity doesn't have their manager or their advisors, or if you're Lindsay Lohan, a very challenged lawyer. Every leader needs help, no matter whether you're old or whether you're young. And so getting my generation to lead, we will need support and encouragement from you. Now, you might be thinking, well, you know, this kid, she's asking a lot. She's asking your support and encouragement. She's asking all of this, you know, walking up to our administrators and saying, let's get some kids at the table. That's sort of a lot. Well, it's not all give, and we actually give something very important in return, something even better than support and encouragement and all that sentimental stuff. We offer be very interesting, which is about the myth of digital natives. And I'm not saying that we know everything, and I'm not saying that we know every single thing about technology, but I think that we learn very quickly. And that having grown up in this technology world, having had a lot of exposure, sometimes there are things that we might be just a little better at. So let me quickly pull the audience to engage this. Yes or no, have you ever asked a kid for help with technology? And so when it comes to technology, students can truly be leaders by providing that often needed
provide technical support in 54% of districts. I'm surprised it's not higher than that, said Martha Koshinor, a teacher in the Mountain Grove School District in Arkansas. The teachers are of the older generation, and we're just learning, whereas the kids who grow up with technology, a lot of times I do feel the students know more than I do. And honestly, I would run into students who know more about technology than I do, even if they're maybe a year or 2 years younger than me. And so you see that a lot, even over short amounts of time, and you learn faster and you have more exposure to it. Leadership comes in many shapes and forms, and one of them is that crucial ability to provide guidance and provide direction. Admit it, sometimes you will run into a kid who knows more about your smartphone than you do, and instead of saying, oh, awful, I need to beat this kid, then say, which is okay too, I guess if you learn that, you need to be open-minded to the idea that, you know, I can learn something from this. And I think that many of you are actually really open-minded to the idea that you can learn from your kids. There was a session called When You're Not the Smartest Person in the Room that I thought was a very good example. Now, I've talked a lot about technology this and technology that, and I want to remind everyone that just like a dress doesn't make a fashion icon, equipment alone won't make an innovative classroom. It really is about attitudes, about the human part of it. To me, I believe that a lot of this is open-mindedness I have with kids. I believe the learning between adults and kids should be reciprocal. Another big part of it is the idea that everyone can have a leadership role. There are some kids who might think, you know, this kid doesn't really look like the leadership type, and I don't want to see that. I think that it's important that everyone has a role, no matter what it is, to lead. So you may be pleasantly surprised when you open your ears to hear what students say, how much insight you can actually find in their words. I've been surprised myself by kids younger than me. So for instance, I've been corresponding with my friend Madeline in California. She wrote me some emails. I edited them a little bit because I had some spelling errors, but I mean that's one of the things. You need to look beyond that. I'm one of the most persnickety people when it comes to spelling errors.
put the two that you have, put the one or two that you have at the top. Okay.
if I could write something practical, like a story or a letter on a computer. Giving students the confidence to speak up and to provide their insights to you is one of the best things that I think you can do to really hear your students and allow them to take leadership. An innovative classroom shouldn't be one where students are bored to death. It should be one where everyone is participating, is interested, and can benefit from the learning that's going on. The other night at the reception, I talked to Blake Hoagland, and he actually developed his own iPhone app. It's called Dayfinder, which I highly recommend you guys check out. It's very cool. And he made that up with the team. So his school is planning that student-led technology class. And that was very interesting to me because I hadn't heard of the concept of student-led classes before. And one of the great things I think about that is that the students really decide what they want to learn and how they want to learn it. So whether it's getting students to take part in leadership through guidance and direction, the tech support, or doing peer tutoring, the ability to direct people on student councils, or making their voices heard through learning response systems, leading lessons, or new ideas for classroom activities, those are just a few ideas for how students can take charge and really have that power, power in students. So those are just a couple of ideas. Are there any examples of student leadership programs that you guys can share with me that are being implemented currently, or even ideas that you have? Yes?
Our schools, basically, disciplinary committee is headed and run by students.
That's actually one of the ideas that's pushing my head that. Okay, so disciplinary committee run by students. And actually, I could definitely see the advantages of that because I know that at my sister's school, for instance, when there's a big, the adults are saying, this is where I put sick in detention, and sometimes that you get a little bit of resentment. I don't know towards the adults. It seems like by having a disciplinary committee for the students, you might eliminate some of that. But that's a very interesting point. Are there any other leadership programs that's been implemented with kids? Yes?
Habitat for Humanity was a community service program initiated by students.
Okay, wonderful. Anything else? Yes?
Future Problem Solvers of America, our school's team, they actually won the international for how to properly dispose of prescription medicine, and it's being implemented on CAPE.
Wow, that's a very high honor. I definitely congratulate them. So the Teacher Problem Solvers of America?
Future Problem Solvers.
Oh, Future. Like I said, Teacher, right here. Future Problem Solvers of America. What else? Yes?
Older students mentoring new students.
Older students mentoring new students. And that actually brings an interesting point. Older students mentoring new students, I think, is definitely very helpful. I know that a lot of kids, the first day of school can be one of a lot of trepidation, and so having older students help them mentor can hopefully eliminate some of that. I read a very interesting article from, whatever it is, I think everyone has the potential to be a leader. So now that we've done a wonderful job. They have asked my sister, and they didn't just tell us, they asked us what they thought we should be doing. They asked us what we thought about issues, really taking that inquiry position and asking kids questions about what they think on something is very important. Getting kids in the leadership position should start at home before they even understand. It should happen in school. It should happen after school. I think that leadership is something that it doesn't mean just being president of student body or just taking a position for a couple of years. It is a lifelong trait and a lifelong skill, and one that every student can benefit from. When it comes to student leadership and education, I hope that every one of you will ask yourself why, where, who, how, what does student leadership mean, and come up with new and innovative ideas that you can bring students to the forefront of education reform and the movement to make each one of our classrooms innovative. And as my dad said, why just in education? It can start at home. It can start in even students before they enter school, as I've heard from many people in community service, things like Habitat for Humanity. So there are countless ways your students and your kids can go out there and guide, direct, learn, and lead inside and outside the classroom. Ultimately, it isn't just about us. It's not just students who will benefit from this. Everyone today and in the future could benefit from a new group of leaders who know how to solve the problems, who know how to guide and direct and lead. Leaders who understand how to innovate and come up with new ideas. Leaders who know how to solve our global problems from practice on a classroom scale. This is the kind of future that I look forward to now. I've often said, you must help us learn today because we are the leaders of tomorrow. And many of you may have heard me say that. But why should we start leading today? After all, ask yourself, where will our next generation of principals and superintendents and teachers come from? Student leadership, I believe, keeps the engine of education moving forward to reach new heights in the 21st century and beyond.
Thank you. If we have a little bit of extra time, if people have a large group of time, I know it's harder ask questions. Adora, would you mind too, during the informal reception later, will you be around?
Yes, actually, I have a book signing after this.
Oh, book signing. Book signing. Book signing. And how many books will you be signing? Hopefully, thousands.
They should pay for their questions.
Yes, actually, that's a wonderful idea. Two prices, double the offer. You can get not only the books, you can also ask some questions and take a picture. That's three books.
The new director of November Learning Marketing. Where are you, Joyce? Oh, you're up there. You should just take a bow. How do you introduce yourself?
Sorry, my computer, I was live on the ground. Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah, there's the touch.com.
Where's the book signing? Just outside, right?
I think so. I have no idea.
Where is it? You're going to announce the book signing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I'm curious to ask a question. How many of you at your schools do have an iPhone app design course for kids in your school? Is there anyone in the room? Anyone? One, two,
three.
Okay, in the entire room, iPad apps, modern, apps. Can we end it? Okay, so if I were in a computer science department today, given that mobile phones are probably the future, wouldn't you want to have a class for kids to design apps right away? Wouldn't this be an immediate, obvious thing to do? It's just three people in the room. Now, I just happened to, Adora inspired me, I gotta tell you, and Blake did too. Can you just flip to my computer for a second? So I couldn't help myself, like many of you were twittering. I went into iTunes, and I typed in Stanford University, and apps, and you could run this now. It's how to build an iPhone app that doesn't suck. 10 easy steps. And these are series of tutorials on how to design an iPhone app. Okay, so now we have the content. It's free. And so we get some kids together, Blake, right? Where's Blake? There's another kid, right? So Blake's, I don't know how you got here, Texas, right? So Blake asked me, how do I get an iPhone app class going? There's a whole series at Stanford, Blake. You can take this, go back to Highland Park. I know some people there, it will help you. And you can probably launch this, right? And get lots of kids involved in making some more money besides writing books. You can make the apps. Anyway, it just occurs to me that any new course that we would need is probably already on the web. We just need to get some kids organized to get access to it, give them a room, and let them go out. All right, just a thought. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Chad, who has some announcements for you.